Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Wayne.
This is Julia.
And my name is Chad.
First off, I want to say that this episode in my heart, where my heart's beating.
And your warm heart.
This is a love letter to a demographic of our listeners that we have mentioned many times over, but I don't think we have ever actually dedicated a show to, which is we hear from a lot of people who love gaming, are into gaming, but for whatever reason right now do not have a gaming group. And that could be because they're going through social difficulties, or they moved somewhere, or their friends moved away, or
they have really bad BO.
What?
That hasn't stopped many people from gaming.
They're on active deployment with the military. They're on a job that has them isolated from other people. Whatever the case is, this episode, while we hope there's going to be some fun stuff for everybody, this is a love letter to those of you that love gaming but don't have a gaming group, and we are your fix. You are living vicariously.
I
feel like we should have some music, you know?
Some sad violin in the background.
We'll see. All right, so
Would you do if you didn't have a gaming group? Because I know what I would do. I would start doing like Pathfinder Society, Dungeons and Dragons Adventure League, and I would pick out the people that are worth talking to. And steal them for a home gaming group.
You bardic gnome, you are unworthy.
Well, the only rebuttal I have to that is, what if you come from a town that's so small that you don't have that?
You're on active deployment or something like that. True. Once again, so do you want to know the appropriate answer, like the HR level answer of what I would do?
You're taking so much training.
I know I am.
And I are working together now for the first time in our lives. We actually have the same employer. He sits like three desks away from me.
Yeah, we have the same supervisor.
I mean, being call boys is not really a job.
But
fuck you.
Hey, they work it.
That's right. We have professionalism.
They work it.
I like the way you work it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the amount of times I've had to picture Bianca Beauchamp to get through some old lady. Now,
you get the old ladies? Damn it. All right. I always love the new guy.
So, Wayne, do you want the HR level answer or do you want the truth?
No, I want the truth.
Okay. So, the truth is, I just get bitter because there have been times.
Music. There's a bitter song we could have been playing. Like
bittersweet DJ. Symphony, because it would fit all of our needs here. But there have been times in the course of this show, right? So within the past 10, 12, 15, 25, however long we've been doing this show, years, that I have not had a gaming group for a significant stretch of time.
Until you started doing the actual play. I didn't know you in a gaming group.
Yeah, I actually was not in a gaming group until the actual play.
Yeah.
And basically what I did was I just got really like...
No, what I did is I got tired of you talking about SOG and I shamed you into putting your money where your mouth is.
So you know how like people that are habitually single walk through the park and see people holding hands and just hate them? That's kind of what I was like. I'd be like, these people are gaming. They suck ass. And I hope they die. But they're my friends, so I wish them well.
That's right.
In death.
And sucking ass, specifically.
We went through like 2 or 3 months where we weren't either there. Mm-hmm.
I'm in a serious dry spell.
I guess. And you're not gaming, so.
Oh, geez.
Welcome to marriage.
Yeah. Welcome to having a toddler.
Oh, yeah. I'll say forget marriage. Welcome
whatever.
To
she sleeps through the night.
Oh, my God. That is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, she's never not slept in the night.
That first night. Oh, my God.
She's always slept through the night.
So has she?
Yeah.
All right. So, Julie, why is it you don't have a gaming group right now?
Well, one of them is for my own reasons. I'm getting ready to have another surgery.
Okay.
A stomach surgery. And this one's going to go through my ribs. So it's going to be a really bad recovery.
Okay.
So we're kind of at like a new chapter and I didn't want to like get through it and then drop out halfway through and be gone for whoever, how long it's going to take.
Right.
And they really hate gaming in the hospital.
Well, and it's a drive to, well, it's Kirk. I think he listens and you guys all know him, but Kirk.
Hey, Kirk.
He drives, but it's quite a drive and I threw my back out because of
driving.
Said injury throughout my back.
He does live in the middle of nowhere, and, so he's got to kick in the four wheel and go.
Well,
over
and I drive a stick, And so when you drive a stick for a long period of time, it hurts. I am really good at it. But anyway, and then the other one, it's just a lot of things. Like, schedules aren't lining up. We have one person who's...
Life is kicking in.
Yeah, a little flaky. Yeah. And then we've got a girlfriend who doesn't think it's fun, so therefore he can't come. And try a little bit of social stuff happening. No. You know, one of those things.
If we had a soundboard, this would be where I put in the foghorn.
Yep.
Well, and he is new to gaming. This is like his first gaming group, and we kind of started him. And this is our second game with him. So really, it's his only second game. So he has interest, but now she's kind of kaputted it.
Okay. So...
That sounds like her problem to me.
And she's really nice. It's just, I think that...
Well, that's great for her.
Well, and I don't think it's actively telling him he can't do it. I think he's just being like, oh, well, I want to hang out with her, and she doesn't want, that kind of thing.
So he wants to get laid. Actively. He's done with gaming, and he just
But they've been together for like 2 years, so I mean...
Well, so...
I mean, should it?
Sure. Whatever.
Oh, never mind. I'm not going to talk about my sex life. I'm just saying, when I was together with Mike for 2 years, we would find ways, even if I can leave and game on a Sunday. My vagina needs a rest. Sorry.
That's fair.
That'll be Fear the Con 12's slogan.
my vagina needs a rest.
So
everybody knows what the beginning of relationships were like. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes. Okay. But so what I want to say is, to those of you that are out there in that situation, I don't know about Wayne, but I know at least the other three people at this table have been through gaming droughts in their life. Wayne, I think you have just been in one continuous orgy since you started gaming.
He's still in the honeymoon phase. He's been gaming for years.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I started with the group that, I mean, it's kind of the same group, even though there's only one person left in there that was there when I started, but it's the same group.
Yeah, and was the Nice Rainbows, that's still going on?
Not really time-wise. I mean, we want it to. We like playing it. It's just
the Funny Books AP, right?
Yeah. It's just an issue of everyone's schedules just aren't working out.
And then, of course, the Skies of Glass AP is still going on.
Which is the far superior AP. Objectively.
I completely agree. Mm-hmm.
Skies of Glass is my favorite system.
Mm-hmm.
So, you people out there that are in that situation, we feel you. We got much love for you.
He just doesn't understand. Yeah. He doesn't get the concept.
Well, what do you do, Chad?
What? When I don't have a gaming group?
Yeah.
Make friends and find a gaming group. Okay. I'm the outgoing one. I'm not the shy one.
Me too. I just don't have
I'm like, hey, you person with a funny t-shirt. Do you know what role-playing games are?
Yeah.
And Wayne's like, what?
Yeah.
You know what? I would disagree, except it's completely true. Because I've started waffling on whether I'm an introvert or what they call an ambivert. Which is somebody who's introverted in certain circumstances and extroverted in others, or is primarily introverted but can
feign. When you're on the show, you're very extroverted.
Yeah, when I'm on the show.
I'm the introverted class clown. That's, I think, the best way to describe myself.
Yeah, it's your words are far and few between, but they're always wise and funny.
No,
I wouldn't say wise.
It's not like, I know what Wayne's talking about, because not so much my current job, because... One, I'm too new, and two, being a large corporation, it's a bit too corporate. But at my prior job, which was a small company, I was always running my mouth. When I teach at church, I have no problem speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But you put me in a crowd of people, even like a Fear of the Con, and I suddenly get real quiet, real introverted. You put me one-on-one with somebody I don't know, and it is so difficult for me to communicate with that person. And so I am fundamentally wired as an introvert. But there are these moments, these bursts, these contacts, whatever it is.
Situations.
Where I function like an extrovert, and they call that an ambivert.
Yeah, I have no idea how that works for me, in that I, for the most part, am an introvert. I don't like crowds. I have to recharge when I've been around people.
Yeah.
You know, being around people really does drain me. Yet, I will also do ridiculous things and be the outward class clown to make somebody laugh. And have no problem making a fool of myself doing it. Yet normally I am very, like I said, I want to be away from crowds.
You remind me so much of my brother. It's like uncanny.
It's interesting
He's the same way.
It's interesting to be friends with a lot of introverts. When you're in a situation where there's a lot of people and you know that you have some friends who have social anxiety, Because as extroverts, and I've seen you do this, Julia, where there's a crowd of people and then you kind of see one or two of your friends where they're getting like, not, you know, crazy, but it's just like
shelling
up a little bit, getting a little uncomfortable. And then it's, I don't know about you, but I'm just like, hey, look at me.
Yeah.
I'm the crazy guy. And
I'll take
it allows them to take a step back and do their recharge.
That is, I love it. That is something I can appreciate, really appreciate, because not everyone's like that.
Right.
There are the other type of people that will see that and be like,
and want to pull
and bring the spotlight on the guy that's uncomfortable.
No. You can't.
I think it depends on the person. Yeah. Like, I know that some of my friends, they just have a hard time getting conversations started.
Yeah.
And I have some friends, like my brother is not my friend. I guess he's my friend. He is kind of like that, where I have to divert attention. Yeah. But I do have some friends that just don't know how to get a conversation started. Actually, my boss is that way. He is talking about bringing me to marketing events because I have no, this dude sitting here, I'll have a conversation with him. Mm-hmm. And then he can't. He just can't even start a conversation. Then all of a sudden I got business. So
but it's very interesting. I compartmentalize. Mm-hmm. So like when I was at Six Flags, you know, working with the guests and things, very outgoing, dealing with crowds, no problem whatsoever. If I'm at a work,
the context was
yes.
Correct.
If I'm at a work event, same thing.
Yeah.
I can compartmentalize, and that is same for Fear the Con or something. Mm-hmm. I am in
your element.
I wouldn't even say that, but it's like
a comfortable, safe place.
No, it's this is the time to do that. So I will put on that uniform and pretend to be that, and then as soon as that's over, I have to spend time alone.
Sure,
because it is completely draining.
Yeah.
And I can do it. I have no problem doing it. I can be the outgoing guy, but it really drains
me. Yeah, it's something I wonder is if podcasting had existed at an earlier point in my life, or if actual plays or these YouTube channels that do gaming or Twitch channels had existed at an earlier point in my life when I myself was not producing this kind of content. Because, I mean, Fear the Boot started literally within a very, very small number of years of podcasting being a thing. I mean, like within 2 years of podcasting being invented, much less popularized. And so I have to wonder, would I have turned to something like that for that sort of vicarious experience of enjoying somebody else's gaming experiences as a way of trying to scratch that itch? Because I mean, certainly I do with other things. Mm-hmm. You know, there are topics I'm interested in, like philosophy. Mm-hmm. And if I don't have somebody around me where I can, let me stress calmly, have an intellectual conversation about philosophy.
What, Facebook doesn't scratch that itch?
Yeah, believe it or not, social media doesn't do it. And so I'll listen to university lectures and such about these topics, and it does stimulate me and get me thinking about those things, or I'll read books on those subjects or whatever.
Well, at the risk of it being turned back as to something dirty towards me, I am a very voyeuristic person. I like listening to podcasts where people start talking about their lives and things. I like people watching and just seeing glimpses into lives. Part of it is the vicariousness of this is what someone else's life is like. But yeah, I consider myself very voyeuristic. I like watching slice of life, just these little clips of people, you know, into their life. And I like amateur porn.
So Julia, how are you handling it? Not the amateur porn. But
you have no idea.
But
Wayne does.
Pornhub.
Yeah.
Pornhub. Anyway. Well, currently I'm in a campaign board game that's kind of scratched the itch a little bit because it feels...
What's the board game?
Gloomhaven.
Gloomhaven, okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Because it was my usual go-to for a board game that's a role-playing game without being a role-playing game is Descent.
Yeah.
Or Arkham Horror. But that's because you and I invent a story.
I don't want to, but I like it because you get to, your decisions, you get to unlock different areas, and that's how this game works. So, you get to put a sticker on a board and all of a sudden you can go to that location, and you might go to that location. You can either do good or bad, or you take this decision or this decision, and then you open up another. So it's kind of neat because it feels more like a role-playing game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of scratching the itch. Otherwise, I play a lot of video games and I hang out with my family. I mean, I don't get depressed or anything. Like every once in a while I'll be like, man, I feel like I haven't seen anybody, and I'll have everybody come over for board games or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll do barbecues.
I have so many board games I've never played. My backseat is full of them. I have things like Planet of the Apes, the board game that I picked up at Miniature Market that I know Chad would never play with me.
I would play it. I wouldn't like it. I'd make fun of you, but I would play it.
I bought a Back to the Future board game that was...
With apes?
No apes in that one. there was a train board game I bought. So many things at Miniature Market because the prices were really good.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually the last time I saw
it. Yeah, I saw him at Miniature Market.
Yep. Oh.
Yeah. Ran into each other there before gaming one day.
Mm-hmm.
I run into Julia at gaming stores too. Because we ran into each other at game night like a year
ago. Yeah, that's right.
Twice, I think.
Yeah, actually. We did it twice.
Yeah, and Carl ran into you at West County Mall. Like, everybody runs into you but me. I never see you.
Yeah. You never leave the room because it's out of context. You're an introvert.
Yeah, that's true.
I ran into her at the gas station. Mm-hmm. Next pump over.
Yeah. You're a woman about town.
I know.
Yeah, you're stalking these two.
I mean, to be fair, I saw Wayne when I was doing something really lame, and that was going to a resale shop for baby clothes. I just stopped and got gas right there.
Mm-hmm. Wayne, what were you doing buying baby clothes?
I was stopping to get gas on my way home.
Oh. From buying all these baby
clothes. Yeah. I mean...
Because he has all these stuffed apes he dresses up in baby
clothes. Yeah, well, I mean, he's a role player, so...
You disgust me.
Yeah, so I think that's my thing, is I just play a lot of board games.
You know, Chad, when I went to D.C. and I went to the Smithsonian, I got a ape that is in the NASA spacesuit.
Of course you
do. I have.
Have you seen the robot chicken monkeys in space?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay, I'll play that. I'll link it in the show notes and I'll play it for you guys before you leave. It's like 45 seconds long. It's hilarious.
I might have mentioned this before, but when I went to Austin a couple years ago, I totally thought of Wayne because I went to the Alamo Drafthouse, which is like a movie buff's movie theater, right? And we're getting one in St. Louis.
I heard.
Which has me on the edge of my seat. They have film festivals and stuff, and it's just amazing.
And they actually serve really good beer because they get all the local brew.
Yeah.
I'm excited
about this. But I went to this Alamo Drafthouse, and each drafthouse is themed based on one single specific movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I went to was themed after Planet of the Apes. And I thought of Wayne. I'm like, oh my God, Wayne would love this place. Because they had like the Portuguese poster for Planet of the Apes. And then they had the Japanese one. And then they had the lawgiver, like this 9-foot tall statue of the lawgiver. All Planet of the Apes crazy.
You sent me some pictures of it. It sounded so awesome.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I just... I'm disgusted by this horrible ape display. Wayne would love it.
Why do you hate apes so much?
I don't hate apes. I think they're just generally gross, but I don't hate them. It's just that I love how Wayne loves monkeys and apes.
I am a Planet of the Apes fanboy.
Yes.
I love the original movies.
Let's separate two issues here. So do you love monkeys and apes, the animals, or do you specifically love...
Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes, yeah.
It started with Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
And then any other ape character. Mm-hmm. Gorilla Grodd.
Right.
It's a common
trope. Rampage.
Yes.
And when Wayne runs games.
King Kong.
Even if there is no context for a monkey to be in there.
There will be
in some way. In fact.
It was a superhero game. There is a context for a monkey city under the city. It fits.
The last game he ran, we unanimously said, one rule, Wayne, no goddamn monkeys, gorillas, macaques, whatever the hell you want to call them. No lemurs. No, I don't care what they are.
Simians.
Yes.
Outside of humans, no simians.
No simians. And I think you even broke it. I think there was one in there.
No, I didn't break it.
Yeah, you were very sad, though.
But you were sad.
I was. It did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wayne keeps getting his monkeys, and I still haven't had a Waymick.
Because that really disgusts me.
What?
You both disgust
me. So, all right, but if I, let's say, right now, I had...
Do you know what a Waymick is?
No.
Dan, explain what a Waymick is.
So, okay.
In your shame.
Are you familiar with God?
Mm-hmm.
So you know a centaur?
Yeah.
They'll make it really perverted, sexual, and furry, and it's like a cat thing.
Sexual. I mean, okay. Go on DeviantArt and it's sexual.
Right.
But no.
It's a D&D monster.
It's a D&D monster that's it's like a centaur lion.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay,
now.
It's a centaur lion. All right, so... If I told you right now,
familiar with God? So much weird. Anyway, go ahead.
If I told you right now, in the other room, I had both a gorilla and a lion, and somehow, just assume, right, total magical thing here. You knew that neither of these animals were going to be dangerous.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Guaranteed not right. dangerous. And I have to bring one of them into the room. Would you rather me bring in the lion or the gorilla?
I would have to go with a lion.
Thank you.
Because,
see,
I'm on your base.
There's not enough room in here for a gorilla.
And gorillas are stinky.
Not all of them are.
No, they're all stinky.
No.
They're all disgusting. Damn dirty apes. I mean, it's in the line.
It is. And Charlton Heston said it.
I know, but right?
How do you know they're not dirty? Because we cage them. I mean, or maybe have you been around one in the wild? Do they stink out there? Probably not. Lions, they have a lot of space to not
lions
stink.
Lions do not throw their feces at people.
And they don't.
I mean, what would you throw at people if they pissed you off?
They're lesser for it.
lawsuits. Cars.
I could snuggle with a lion.
I like both.
Exactly.
I wouldn't like it, and I'd hate myself for it, but I could
snuggle. I would love it.
Did I ever send you a link to the Haram bed?
Yes, Haram bed.
It has giant gorilla arms that will then fold so you can sleep in Harambe's arms.
It's
a real product.
Yeah, it's a tired meme at this point, but at the time, it was still a cutting
edge. Meme.
It was a hot meme. It was a dank meme or whatever.
Dank meme, yeah.
And
Normie.
When Fallout 4 came out, they first started releasing the modding tools. Somebody took the gorilla model from the gorillas that are inside the Institute and swapped out dog meat for Harambe. So you could have Harambe following you around.
By the way, 22 minutes in, I think it might be a good opportunity to say, oh, by the way, this is a bonus episode. In case you haven't noticed.
Yeah. In case you haven't noticed, I talked about my vagina again. Right. Bonus episode, I talked about my vagina.
And for those of you wondering about a negative episode, I'm just trying to schedule with Brodor.
He can talk about his vagina.
I even have the topic. So
his vagina.
Just hold tight for those of you waiting on a negative episode.
It looks like that.
Over on our, over on our Patreon, we just hold on.
Three holes and manufactured in China?
Because with Brodor working so many nights, I'm having trouble scheduling it. But I've already got a negative episode thought out for him.
So since this is a bonus episode and we talked about your vagina, did you know that on the Star Trek, the horrible Star Trek CBS show, they verified that Klingons have two penises?
Wow.
Sweet.
They actually took the time to... They actually took the time to verify that there are two streams of urine coming out of the front of a Klingon.
Wow.
To verify that,
because
yes, Klingons have
that,
two penises.
Of all the great unexplored portions of the Star Trek universe, like the Federation Romulan War and such, of all these things that have never been dealt with, that was the part I was really hung up on, is Klingons having...
Well, they were
too.
Double hung up
on
it.
I'm glad we're on the same basis.
When I heard about it, I assumed
I really
it was a joke until I watched the footage on YouTube, and sure enough, they really do verify that Klingons have
I was like,
phenomenal. You know it's sad whenever the Orville is better than the actual Star Trek.
The Orville is so good.
It is so good, and
Star
Trek is
better.
Like,
Star Trek.
It's a better Star Trek.
It's not just that it's a better show; it's better Star Trek.
And
than,
it's, yeah, like
you
I just
know how people can do those fan edits. What someone needs to do is they need to do a fan edit of Orville so that the opening is Star Trek, but the Orville the ship is called the Orville, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So the Orville goes zipping by, and it's like Photoshop that's like in CSA, whatever the Federation designations are for the. And then they go by, and then it's just subtly edited to where they have their uniforms, but maybe the little Starfleet logo is over, like, their left breast or something. And there's just, like, little oblique references to things that are just edited in.
When I watched it, though, I was, like, the first episode, I was worried that it was going to be, like, Family Guide, which I don't dislike that, but I was like, well, I really like Star Trek, so, like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. And then it turned out to be amazing because they married the two
He's verified that a lot of the comedy that's in there was he was forced to do.
Yeah, I had a theory when I first started watching that show, which is, I mean, I knew it was shamelessly ripped off from Star Trek. One, that's not hidden. And two, he's a huge Star Trek fan. That's why when he did the Oscars or whatever, William Shatner was on there. But I had another theory, which is from the moment I watched the first episode, I said, my guess is he probably wanted to do a serious drama, but because he is known for his comedy, he being Seth MacFarlane, that when he came in, they basically gave him a funny man be funny sort of thing. Well, you got to do a comedy because you know, you've done Family Guy and American Dad and this other stuff. So you got to do a comedy. And I read an interview with him that came out, I think it was after season one was over, and he confirmed that was completely true. He's like, that I really didn't want the show to be a comedy. And he said that as the seasons go on, already they're working on season two, that season two will be more dramatic and less comedic than season one was.
Yeah. He was able to make it more serious as the season went on, too.
Yeah, and I still thought he did a very good job of marrying the two. Oh, I wasn't, I didn't think it was like overly funny, but I still thought it was really enjoyable.
And it's recent enough but light. That I won't spoil any of the episodes. But man, some of the episodes had real gut punch endings.
Oh, yeah.
It was a callback to sci-fi is supposed to explore social issues with science fiction. You know, supposed to have a message to it. At least that's what sci-fi really started out to.
More than message.
It's supposed to make you think.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It was more than you are wrong, we are right. More than that, it was this is really complicated. We're going to try and explore this. And some of the endings, I mean, they were really either, and I don't mean confusing as in you couldn't intellectually make sense of them. I mean, they were morally, ethically, emotionally confusing. Mm-hmm. Like, you really couldn't decide who you were going to side with, or they were these huge gut punches where you finally figure out, at least in your mind, what's right, and they don't win. They don't succeed.
They don't.
Good doesn't always win out.
They did a really good job of presenting both sides of issues, not taking a side. And in the end, showing you that in a lot of cases, there's no good answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There at least nobody came up with a good answer.
Or even when there is, history just kind of rolls on regardless. So, yeah, I thought that was it's a great show. I'm looking forward to season two.
No.
You should. I know you say you don't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah,
but it's actually a good one to watch.
Cut back on television.
That's a good
immensely.
One to watch.
Just no real reason.
My big two are still The Expanse and Gotham.
Mm. Expanse got canceled.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
They're shopping it around to try to get it on another station.
That's crazy.
But sci-fi basically, I think it was just too expensive for
it. That, I'll say that was going to be my guess because I know the show's successful, but it's just too expensive.
Profitable.
Yeah, it may not be profitable because, wow, that sucks because that's such a good show.
Yeah, I'm still working my way through the books. I have two books left and then I'll be caught up with the series.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully I don't just do a half-assed movie and call it.
Julia looked at her phone.
Sorry.
Oh, my God.
My husband's with the baby.
Hit her. Bam!
My husband's with the baby, and he asked me a question.
I go, punch your baby.
Making sure he got it.
Mm-hmm. He knows.
Did you feed the baby? Yes or no? Yes or no?
No, she just played at the botanical garden, so I didn't want him to forget that she needs a bath. Mm-hmm. It's probably full of dirt. We're like an every other night bather, not an every night bather. So, yeah.
Monkeys are still disgusting, Wayne.
So are kids.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're filthy germ pits until they grow up. And then they're still filthy. We just bathe ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So
Wayne, can I play like in one of your games, kind of, if we compromise and I'll play like Gorilla Grodd or Superhumanite or something riding on the back of a Waymick?
Of course.
Of course, yeah.
All right, I've gotten a commitment. This is the next game of Wayne's I play in. And I'm not talking a con game here. I'm talking a real game.
Like a five-year-long campaign of Gorilla Grodd riding.
Or Superhuman. We'll figure out one of them. Right. We'll pick one of them.
Can you be... No, never mind.
You both disgust me. Just kiss and make out and be done with it so we can get back on with our lives.
Ew?
Yeah.
No offense. Don't really want to see you guys kiss.
You two are gross. I judge you. Harshly.
Wow, the places that went so rapidly.
Mm-hmm. I know, guys. What's up with that? To roll it back here a little, this love letter to people who don't have gaming groups.
Yeah.
Except that Wayne can't identify with.
Yeah.
I can't identify with people.
Right.
Just people.
Just people.
Just gorillas.
Yeah, not gorilla. No, he identifies.
Yeah, and that's what I meant. He can just identify with gorillas.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, Dan, what's your advice? Even though it's a bonus episode where we're talking about Julia's vagina again, what is your advice to these people?
It seems to be her favorite topic.
It really is. My friends think it's a feat if I don't say anything about my vagina.
Mm. Okay. You're just being too haughty. You're yeah. just being too.
Most of the time, it's a total joke, but.
But other times, you whip it out and you just wave it all around.
You have no idea. Around, my baby destroyed it. No.
That big old American vagina.
Wrecked it. She went in there with a chainsaw.
I had a C-section.
I came out with a top hat twirling a cane.
I walked out of there.
That's not much of an exaggeration.
Oh, Family Guy.
I love that show. I'm serious, we could eliminate the English language except for Family Guy and Simpsons quotes, and we would still function as a society.
I know that we're totally getting off topic, but... Let's talk about how often Seth MacFarlane calls out real issues, like the fact that Edward Norton was hiding a Stewie in his basement. Like, this was years ago, and then it comes out that...
Kevin Spacey.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant, Kevin Spacey. Edward Norton. Yeah, I don't know why that was in my brain.
Been burned down yet.
Yeah.
So.
And that's what I still think made the best Incredible Hulk. But
yeah, like, and he calls that stuff out. And same thing with Weinstein. It's just our pop culture all in like a show. Mm-hmm. And Simpsons does the same kind of stuff.
Okay, so I'm going to only tap on this issue and then we're going to move to something else.
Yeah, right.
But
Weemix.
Yeah, Weemix.
Is it Weemix or Weemix?
I could find out because they have that online pronunciation guide now, mm-hmm. which finally settled the...
Is it a 5e monster?
I don't know. But it has now been settled. The online pronunciation guide from Wizards of the Coast says it is drow, not drow. It is not drow.
Who said drow?
I've never heard that.
Dude, there was this long ongoing drow debate.
By idiots.
But I completely agree. Drow was obviously the truth.
We just lost listeners.
And now they finally...
Good, those drow motherfuckers need to go.
And so, as a joke, somebody asked that in a forum, mm-hmm. and one of the people from the company responded, it rhymes with B-O-W, which could be bow or bow. But they now have like a Merriam-Webster thing where you can click on it and it says the word.
Yeah.
And it says drow. It is not drow. It is drow. But it
does not appear to be in the 5e.
I'm sure it is in one manual. Of them. But I've always gone with Weemix, not Weemix.
Yeah, and you are the leading authority.
I am the leading authority. Weemix. I know more about Weemix than anybody. Yes, National Geographic actually has...
You bought a Meacham pipe just to sit there for your National Geographic interview.
I'm going to be interviewed soon, sitting in front of my mini leather-bound books.
Right, on Weemix.
Speaking about the...
It does sound like a sexual organ.
Yeah, like, why don't you tickle my Weemix, baby?
Yeah, like, then it, like,
why don't you give me a dirty Weemix?
Somebody should look that up on the Urban Dictionary, you know?
So... These people you say you love so much.
So what my advice is to them is, man, you just, because this is our love letter to them. And this
with all this shit in between.
Yes. Gorillas, Weemix, whirling, like dirty Weemix vaginas around.
This is like the shittiest pen pal situation that's ever happened in the history of pen pals.
Our love letter to you people is that, look, understand that we... on Fear the Boot have been there
except for Wayne
who's, it doesn't matter, he's not exactly a person, he's a voice on the mics, but the rest of us, we have all been there, and at least in the case of Julie and I, we've been there even during the course of doing Fear the Boot, mm-hmm. and I'll tell you, it is hard because most of the topics we come up with, some of them come from other stuff. Somebody will write in and suggest a topic or ask a really good question, or we'll see something that catches our interest. But there is so much we talk about that comes from the games that we are playing, which is why Fear the Boot has had its Skies of Glass stage, its Blades in the Dark stage, its Dresden stage. I mean, it's gone through these phases because of the games we're playing and the issues they bring up. And it is hard to get on the mics and to talk about gaming with any sense of relevance
when you don't game.
When you're not gaming. Yeah. You're just listening to other people's.
And it's not like
I just pull past experience.
Yeah.
Just pass.
You know, but that only gets you so far.
Yeah, totally.
Because we've mined so much of the past mm-hmm. in previous episodes. I mean, it's not like politics or current events or something like that where you're
fine.
Because even then, even if you're not a politician, you are actively engaged in what is going on. When you don't game, the well runs dry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because situations don't come up. You don't encounter things. You don't realize. Because you're effectively mining from the same vein. I mean, yes, when you game, every game is different. There are some genuinely new things that come up. But for the most part, what you see is things that you have already known, but suddenly they get brought to the spotlight. There's an issue that gets brought to the forefront, or you get new perspective on. It's not like something like current events, where new current events are occurring every second of every day.
The world doesn't take a break.
Yeah, I mean, okay, yes, there are new game concepts, new gaming fads, new gaming systems, new gaming settings, but it's not like the concepts that are necessary to make a good character have somehow changed.
Right.
You know, the way you told an entertaining story 1,000 years ago is still the way you tell an entertaining story today. Yes, there are some changes to cultural context and so on and so forth. But if you ask me, I think cultural context is part of the structure of telling a story.
Right.
And so you really are right back where you started of it's you have to be involved in it to have things to say about it. And so it got kind of difficult because there were a lot of shows where Chad or Wayne in particular would be the ones bringing the topic. And I would contemplate them based on past experience. But I really didn't have new perspective to add.
And you shouldn't put yourself down too much on that, because I remember coming to the show with topics and that you weren't gaming. And I knew that that was an issue. And so what I would try and do is, you know, here is this. It's not like, hey, we're doing this and we're great and that's awesome, end of show. It's more like, we're running into this problem. We've seen this issue. Dan, what is your take on the issue? We need an outside voice. We need an outside perspective. So where do you come in on this? So I feel that we were able to get a traction out of it, even though you were in a dry spell.
Well, and alternatively, sometimes, and Wayne, this may be a case that you could speak on, if you're gaming with the same people over and over, yes, the games are different because the content is different. Yep. But sometimes getting away from the same people, like I have two separate gaming groups and they run very differently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
People get in ruts.
Yeah.
Even people who say they don't do the same thing over and over.
They do.
They do.
It's just in a different package. Yeah,
and that's human nature.
Yeah. I had at one point I had three going.
Mm-hmm.
One of them online. One of them Sunday game, and another was a Saturday game.
Yeah.
None of the Saturday game wasn't an every week thing. Had two online for a while. And that was, again, I like that interaction. Different people play differently and give you different ideas.
Yeah, I don't know for the people out there that don't have a gaming group and don't have a well to draw from. So we're not talking about people that live in a good suburban or urban area. They just don't have access to people. So the issue is not that they have access to people and don't know how to assemble gaming group. That's actually something we've already discussed in a past episode, and I don't know that I have any new advice on it. But for the people who are genuinely isolated from a gaming group, I think it's like a lot of struggles in life that the most you can offer to the person is the sense of not just sympathy, but also you're not alone. Other people have been there. Other people get it. Other people have made it through it. And in the meantime, if you are drawing some kind of vicarious sort of entertainment, or you're keeping your toe in that pool by virtue of what we're doing, then all I got to say is we're going to keep on doing it. And when we do these shows, you are not a rounding error in what we do. You know, the people that aren't able to game right now, you're certainly on our minds when we think about the content we're going to put together. And so, I mean, that is my love letter to these people.
Finally.
Because I don't know that, I mean, let's take the really extreme cases, because we've gotten emails from people who have said, yeah, Fear the Boot kept me sane while I was sleeping in the trenches of Iraq or Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you want me to tell those people about finding a gaming group?
Right.
I mean, it's all I can say is, hey, you know,
hang in there, brother.
Yeah, hang in there, brother or sister. It is beyond humbling to be able to be there for you in those moments. we've had people write in where it's maybe not that extreme of a situation, but they're out like doing scientific work and they're doing field studies and they're listening to us.
No gorillas.
Or they're just listening to us because, once again, they're just in a town, or they're dealing with some personal issues where they just can't really connect with people right now, or whatever it is.
You're right, Chad. No gorillas, because they could have taught the gorillas to roll dice. They could game with gorillas.
Are you wishing really hard right now? Is that what's going on?
Wayne, what we should do, if I had like an enormous amount of money, is I would pay off a huge amount to the people that keep Coco. You know the girl I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The one that actually snuggle with it.
Talks.
Her.
Yeah. Coco actually gave a message to the UN.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's crazy stuff, but I'm sure some of it was a little bit coaxed or staged, but still, it's still impressive. Mm. But nonetheless.
And she likes kittens.
Yes, she loves cats for some reason.
The perfect girl for you.
And so I want you to know that if I had, like, if Fear the Boot really did have the money we pretend it has, like, we just
shut up.
I don't have to work because of Fear the Boot.
We pulled in millions of podcasting dollars, then I would pay those people to set aside like a week for you to attempt to role play. And we would hire a videographer to record this journey.
You are approaching this all wrong, because now, instead of fulfilling one man's sick and bizarre dream to role play with a gorilla, this is scientific research.
Oh, yeah.
You get grant money.
Yes.
The government pays you to do this. Yeah.
Exactly.
You just got to start writing grants out.
That's where I'm thinking.
There you go, Wayne.
Yeah, you have to start small. So first you get lemurs.
Well, no, you can get lemurs first, and then work your way up
to gorilla.
This is his monkey wedge.
No. We're starting with Coco because we already have an animal.
His plan. It's his monkey wedge. After the study's over, he gets 20 lemurs.
So Wayne, I can pay him in lemurs. If I had that much money, I can pay him in lemurs. It'll just be like,
it's like a wallet full of
you go into his house and he's covered in lemurs and there's one sitting on his head and he's looking at you like, what?
Yeah.
What's your problem?
We're going to get Wayne a mail slot so that way I can do direct deposit. Just about once a week, another lemur comes through.
So
here's the fascinating thing about it. So do you guys know... And this is a rhetorical question, because I'm going to explain it either way for the people who are listening. Do you guys know what theory of mind is? So theory of mind, they actually believe it's a developmental learned concept that's not necessarily an entirely innate concept, and different people have it to different degrees. But what theory of mind is it's, we have this intellectual concept that, for example, I know that I have a mind. But I only experience my own mind. Mm-hmm. So I presuppose that Julia and Chad, not Wayne so much, but Julia and Chad have a mind like I do. Mm-hmm. And the more developed your theory of mind is, the greater things like sympathy and empathy become.
Okay.
Because of the fact...
I tend to question whether anyone else is real because I don't hear their thoughts.
Yeah, and that's solipsism or solipsism, if you prefer. But that's a low concept of theory of mind. And that's what theory of mind is the idea that other people are fundamentally experiencing the world the same way you do, that yours is not the only mind.
We all understand cold is cold and hot is hot.
Precisely.
And we understand we all love, we all are sad,
exactly.
We all are happy.
And if you stub your toe,
the specifics might be different, but the generalities
I
are there.
I presuppose what it feels like because I have stubbed my toe, and I project my experiences onto you. Right. And it's presuppositional. I have never experienced your mind. And barring some miracle of whatever, never can, never will. All right, so here's the thing.
Wang is ringing.
What this would tell me is role-playing is fundamentally an exercise in theory of mind. You try to think what it would be like to be somebody else. So if you could sit down with one of the higher level, like a gorilla, and get them to play a role-playing game and see what kind of character they make, you would start to understand something about this animal's theory of mind. What does it presuppose someone or something else is like, not just externally, but as it experiences the world. And I don't know how much research there is on this. And this is why if I had the podcasting money we pretend we do, I would love to see Wayne try to convince Coco to create a
D&D character.
We'd let Coco pick. And if Coco picked a gnomish bard, we'd put it down.
It'd probably be a druid.
And yeah, well, we can't presuppose. I mean, you never know. Could be a druid that has cats. And if so, we would understand something that its theory of mind is probably pretty limited because it's, you know,
only doing what it knows.
Yeah, exactly. Coco's sticking to things that she knows. Or maybe it's just the first character and she needs a few characters in to start to try and experiment.
To get her stride.
Yeah, exactly.
What if she said that she wanted to play a dark elf drow?
Put her down. I mean, we have to think about the good of the world.
Right.
Because if Coco escapes and starts teaching other gorillas
about drow,
she has to play Fatal, it's over.
Yeah. It's like, you know, there are certain things you just, or if she gets out in the wild and starts teaching other great apes to not use the Oxford comma. There are just certain things we can't risk.
Oh my God, Dan, you do know that our boss, with a journalism degree, hates the Oxford comma because it's so un-American. And I use it every time.
My accounting firm did too. It drove me nuts.
So does the HR department. I would swear I was an IHOP. I was smelling so much toast while doing the HR orientations because none of them use the Oxford comma.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, read the damn sentence. Just read the sentence and it doesn't make sense if you don't use the Oxford
precisely.
Comma.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
Eat, shoots, and leaves.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of my favorites. There. It was in the front of a book is I dedicate this book to my parents, comma, God and Ayn Rand. And it's like you realize an Oxford comma would have fixed this instead. It sounds like you think that God is your father and Ayn Rand is your mother. So yeah,
gosh,
so you people don't use the Oxford comma.
You're probably drow
others too. You're literally worse than drow Hitler.
Literally That's Wayne's favorite thing.
Everything else we talked about, that's going to be what gets the conversation.
Way, yes.
Literally?
No.
Oh. The Oxford comma one.
No. Well,
people feel strongly about that.
Okay. Our boss really does. I mean,
I have another one, though.
Okay. I got to stop you right here.
Yeah.
By the way, you people in England, if you want to know the difference between like England or Australia and America.
And you don't have a map.
And you don't have a map.
Or you don't understand geography.
There's really,
we haven't invaded you.
There's really... linguistically two big differences.
Yes.
There's two big differences linguistically. One, we don't pronounce the R in idea. And two, I want you to know
idea.
Yeah, you've never heard
idea.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure the Australians have R's everywhere.
Yeah, England does it not as bad, but the old one. Oh yeah,
everything in Australia wants to kill you.
Yeah, exactly. So the other thing is I want you guys to know that literally is three syllables, and battery is also three syllables. It's not literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
Because I pronounce it literally.
It's not. It's literally.
I know it's not. Dan pointed this out to me because I didn't even know I was doing it. I say literally because I watch a lot of BBC.
And they also drop a syllable from battery and call it battery.
And I say battery. I don't say
battery.
Because to me, battery is what's in your car. Battery is when you hit someone.
A battering
ram. Bat tree is the tree that Batman has in his yard.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, exactly. That is the bat tree.
No, the other debate that I have sparked many a conversations with, and Dan, you'll appreciate this. Do you use tabs or spaces?
In
programming.
Oh, in programming?
Oh my God. I could kill spacers. I could like literally kick them in the ball so hard they come out their mall.
Literally. I could literally commit battery against their balls. Not and their bollocks,
I
their
fight,
balls.
Like when Silicon Valley did that, I like flipped the table and Mike's like, what? And I'm like, I couldn't date somebody if they freaking spaced
either. You know something else I hate? Operating systems where you hit enter and it does not actually put together carriage return and line feed.
Oh, yeah.
So you open up in a text editor and everything's on the same line.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're nerds.
So
about programming.
To those of you that don't have a gaming group, we love you very much.
Literally love you very much.
To those of you,
unless you don't use the Oxford comma, apparently.
Yes. Yeah. Or to those of you that have a Waymic, comma, a gorilla, comma, and no gaming group, we have all the love for you. Literally.
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 So.
Literally.
Have a great week.
I'm not apologizing for watching a lot of British television in my youth. Like a lot of British television.
Literally.
Literally a lot.
Drink out of aluminum cans?
Oh, no. Aluminium is just weird.
It was originally aluminum.
Aluminum.
They changed it to aluminium because the other metals, it's, you know, plumbonium.
Yeah.
They made it more of a standard.
They wanted it to feel they not standardized,
but it was originally named aluminum.
Yeah.
Aluminium was actually a change to the word. Yeah. You can look that one up if you don't believe me. That is real.
I don't do buggy, bonnet, or anything like, or pram. I don't do prambulator, pram. I don't do any of that.
Oh, that's like the weirdest thing is like when you
prambulator is weird.
Well,
the prepositions, like I'm in uni.
Yeah.
As opposed to
I'm taking maths.
I'm taking
like
maths.
Plural maths, which is, I guess you are. If you're, you know, you don't learn one formula, you're in maths.
I was watching, there's like a British show out that I really like about being a mom. It's actually really funny. Like, it's real. And they call their strollers prams.
Yeah.
And it's really hard.
Word is perambulator.
What are they talking about?
I went through this with Kita, a friend of mine in Australia. She's from America. But she still lives in Australia. So
she was bit by something in Australia, and she cannot.
She's now
leave.
Poisoned.
Yeah. The antidote's there, and she can't travel to America.
I keep referring to her now as she's a child of a lesser god. But don't look up what that means. That's actually really mean. But the point being that one day she was telling me that she lives in a place where she's allowed of mass transit. And she was like,
so the one of two places you can live in Australia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's like, I can't find the trolley and I'm follow the tracks. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you not find the trolley? And she finally explains to me, no, she means the shopping cart.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
Because apparently shopping cart theft is so common, you bring your own.
So
it was very bizarre.
So in Britain, you have train.
This is in Australia. I don't know.
Well, in Britain, you have train cars.
Yeah.
Except in the subway. No, in America, we have train cars. In Britain, you have train carriages. Except in the subway, they're train cars because the subway historically was built by Americans and they called it by an American name.
Yeah. But she kept referring to her shopping cart as a trolley. And I'm like,
they do that in Britain too.
I'm like, you're American. Get your shit together. But that's what we fought this war over.
The war with Australia.
Yes, that's what we fought the war with Australia over.
Trolleys.
The shopping carts.
The shopping carts.
And too many R's.
Yes. So anyways.
And Tim Tams.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
We're sorry in advance.
And remember what this episode was about. The one thing it was about.
The Oxford comma.
The Oxford f***ing comma. You dro motherfuckers. We'll be right back.